Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning,
and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things that we find in God's holy and divine Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject, and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer, or contact me personally by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This evening at 7 o'clock, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will come together for a period of Bible study. The church meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431. We urge you to be aware of this, to know that you are welcome to come and to be present. We ask you only to bring your Bible, to see and observe the things that you hear and the things that we do, and compare that with what the Bible teaches. You'd be our honored guest if you were to come and to visit with us. If it's absolutely impossible for you to be able to be present, we'd like for you to know that with the use of your computer, your cell phone, or your tablet, and you have access to the internet, at 7 o'clock you can log on to eastalbertville.org. And there you will find a live feed of both audio and video of tonight's Bible study. If you're familiar with YouTube, you can go to the church's YouTube channel. If you're a Facebook user, you can go to the church's Facebook page. And there you can see and hear the Bible study that will be conducted this evening. So we urge you to come and be with us in presence, or to log on and be able to see and to hear the Bible study tonight at 7 p.m. Modernism held sway for the better part of the 19th and the 20th centuries. As Christians, we have fought it for so long that we hardly know how to fight anything else. We were, I guess for the better word, comfortable with it, even though it argues that in a variety of ways, Christianity is not true. And there is where lies our comfort. We and the modernists share the view that truth exists. And over the past several decades, though, modernism has been losing ground. And there's been a new idea, a new theology that is taking its place. And that's one that doesn't share a view of truth. It's called postmodernism. And it's really not easy to define because it's not just one thing, but many. And given its view of truth, it's one other cause for alarm. And that is that a postmodernist is happy to tell you about his truth, and just as happy to hear about yours. But what he isn't happy about is any claim that you might make to have an absolute and exclusive truth. He's just not tolerant enough to allow you to be intolerant. In fact, a large part of our purpose, then, is simply to learn more about this increasingly predominant worldview, and to strengthen our faith and our courage by reminding us that we stand on solid ground. Christianity and postmodernism clashes at several points, and we'll talk about only three in the time that we have. Beginning with what we've already mentioned, its rejection of absolute truth. The opposite of absolute truth is subjectivism. There is truth in postmodern thought, but it's subjective truth. Truth that grows out of experience, not from something objectively true that's outside of us. You have your truth, I have mine. That's what subjectivism is. And nothing has definite meaning in subjectivism. We must constantly re-examine and reinterpret the events of the world and our life. In fact, Michael Glado, in his book, The Challenge of Postmodernism, on page 151, makes this statement, and I quote, "For postmodernism, truth is not to be found, but rather to be created. What is true is what one believes to be true." End of quote. So doesn't that help to explain a lot of what we are seeing and hearing today in both the secular world as well as the religious world? You know, unless we understand this loss of trust in absolute truth, we're not going to understand this philosophy. Though postmodernism has sort of approximated Einstein's theory of relativity, this had changed it into relativism. And we must not oversimplify it. Postmodernism is not just merely relativism. It goes beyond that. It affects music, literature, art, advertising, education, morality, dress. It leaves no area of our lives untouched. And throw in a bit of science, and voila, you know, we have quantum mechanics, and its apparent violation of the laws of logic. And then you've got yourself one powerful mix. What is it to be the Christian's response to this relativism, this subjectivism that we're talking about? How do we keep ourselves from being swept away by the flood of popular culture? Well, one word, resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central, it is the hard-nosed, it is the objective, absolute fact of Christianity. It won't go away. The tomb was empty when those who came later to see. Later, the risen Christ said to his disciples, and we read this in Luke 24, verses 38 and 39. Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And so Jesus did what Acts 1 and verse 3 says. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by his disciples during those 40 days. Another thing that we've seen in recent years that's been brought about by postmodernism is pluralism. Simply put, this is the belief that there are many equally valid worldviews. Or, if we were to state it negatively, no single view of reality can account for all of the phenomena of life. And that's an American Heritage Dictionary definition of pluralism. And really, it's the logical consequence of subjectivism, that is, no absolute truth, though I'm really not sure that a postmodernist would appreciate the use of the term logical. Pluralism has found immediate access into our culture through the door of modern religious liberalism. You ever seen those bumper stickers that says coexist? That's pluralism. In fact, Frederick Schumacher, who lived from 1768 till 1834, he was a German Protestant theologian, and he's really considered by many to be the father of these two lines of thought. And I quote, "No external authority, whether it be scripture, church, or historic creedal statement, takes precedence over the immediate experience of believers," end of quote. But you know, where did this concept comes from the early 19th century or the early 21st century? It flies in the face of Bible evangelism. Now make no mistake about it. We have a mandate from God to call people to change. That's what the gospel is all about. It intends to draw men and women away from whatever philosophical or religious allegiance that they have, and to convert them to Jesus Christ. When Paul, and they were pluralist in Paul's day, all you have to do is go to Acts chapter 17, and there you read of the Athenians who believed in multiple gods, many gods, in fact so many, that there was a place called Mars Hill, and it was a place where they had erected shrines and altars to every conceivable god that they could think of. And then there, of course, was that one that Paul spotted that caused him to bring the sermon that he did in Acts 17, and that was for out of fear that they might have left out one of the gods, they just simply erected an altar and said to the unknown God. And when Paul addressed those of his day in Athens, he intended to do more than just pique their intellectual curiosity. He sought their repentance. That's why he says in Acts 17, verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." See, the gospel is not meant to leave sinners as they are. And finally, there's the matter of the kingdom of God. The very heart of this concept is the demand that we must submit, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, to the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that we need to seek his rule first in our lives. As Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Friends, the challenge for us as Christians is to find a way into the postmodern mind, some common ground with which we can stand without compromising the absolute truth that Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.